In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining. Amen. So in the coming weeks for our Lenten series, Jim Postel, who's a member of the church, but right now he lives in Milan, Italy, is going to take anyone who stays for the Lenten series after worship at 11:15 or who comes onto Zoom on a tour of our making of sacred places. And he's going to explore with us how we experience God, whether it's in the natural world or in gardens that humans cultivate or in the design of cities and architecture or in a place like this. And we believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can experience God's glory and find that all around us. So I wonder if you've ever been somewhere where you've had a palpable sense of God and God's been all around you and has transformed you. I've heard stories of people coming to know God when they've been in the forest or climbed a mountain or the overwhelming sense of God's creation when somebody goes to a beautifully tended garden or the sense of God's providence when one moves through a city, maybe a city that's hundreds of years old, thousands of years old. And I've heard stories, of course, of people meeting God in the soaring spaces of the church. Today we hear the story of Christ upon this mountaintop. He's with his friends. These are his closest friends. And then Moses shows up and Elijah shows up. This is not just an incredible moment in time. This is a time beyond time and space. You can imagine all that they experienced. The shock, the horror, the wonder, the awe, and then how elevated their spirits were, how invigorated they may have been after this incredible experience. Well, one summer I was a scrawny, awkward 13-year-old, and I went to church camp, and I heard this incredible thing. I heard someone say this to everyone in the room and to me. God loves you just the way you are. And anything you're doing that keeps you from knowing that love, God forgives that and wants you to know love. Hearing this, something clicked. And I was transformed the way I imagine Moses was enlightened on the mountain in the cloud of God's presence. It transfigured my life in the way I think Peter, James, and John were transfigured by the shining presence of Christ. When I came home from this experience, people told me I actually looked different, and they didn't know what had happened. My countenance had been transformed, I believe, by God's love and grace. This can happen to anyone at any stage of life. I believe it's simply a gift waiting to be received. I read in the book we read last year for our Lenten series, in 8 Habits of Love, Ed Bacon's experience of this when he was 7 years old. He said, I was 7 years old, my baby brother was born. This was a time of great joy and upheaval in our household, and I often found myself alone. One late morning, as the sun was beginning to scorch the blacktop and the insects buzz noisily in the humid air, I entered a stand of pines in my childhood home in Georgia, the kind of stand seen in many large yards in the American South. Underneath my feet lay a thick blanket of soft pine needles. The aroma enveloped me, and I felt myself cushioned on all sides by the softness of the needles and the black earth beneath my feet, by the warm air pressing against my skin, but also by something new and untangible. I suddenly felt myself being embraced by what I now call the beloved. At the time, I did not know what it was. I had been playing very actively in the yard and was a little out of breath. as this intangible and wondrous feeling came over me, I stopped and became a receptacle for the experience. Standing in stillness among the pines, my heart slowed down, and I was very calm. The embrace I felt was like an inaudible voice, or a sudden knowing, an unexpected revelation all of my own. One instant, I was a tussled, active young boy in a pine grove. The next, I was the most special, loved being in all creation. At the very same time, I understood, as I had begun to suspect when I gazed upon the picture of the revelation in my parents' Bible, that every creature was the most special, loved being in all creation as well. I felt powerful and creative, full of energy and imagination. Nothing seemed too difficult, and I knew that every other person on the planet had been given equally special gifts. Transfiguration moments happen in all kinds of ways. You know you've had one when love and joy radiates and you don't want to let it go. And while you want it to end, it has to end. Because here's what we didn't read and hear in today's gospel. I want to share it with you right now. It's what happens to Jesus and Peter and James and John as they descend the mountain. What God calls them to do and where God calls them to be right after they experience the transfiguration of Christ. Here's the account from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. This is where we left off. Coming down the mountain, Jesus swore them to secrecy. Don't breathe a word of what you've seen. After the Son of Man is raised from the dead, you are free to talk. Because here's the reality. The mountaintop, that incredible experience of the beloved, is here to give us a glimpse of God's glory. And the extraordinary reality we'll need to know once we come down from the mountaintop. So here's what happens next in the story. At the bottom of the mountain, they were met by a crowd of waiting people, kind of like the laundromat for laundry love. And as they approached, a man came out of the crowd and fell to his knees begging, "Master, have mercy on my son. He goes out of his mind. He suffers terribly, falling into seizures. Frequently, he is pitched into the fire, other times into the river. I brought him to your disciples and they could do nothing for him." This is what awaits us when we come down off the mountaintops of meaningful and ecstatic and transformational experiences with God. People in need of healing. Places that seemingly have little to do with God or nothing to do with God. And people we seemingly cannot help. The disciples have a hard time, even after seeing Jesus transfigured, having the faith they need to encounter the hurt and pain they face. This gospel passage we started today on the mountaintop, and I believe actually ends, we heard it only end midway through the story, it actually ends like this. As they were regrouping in Galilee, Jesus told them, "The Son of Man is about to be betrayed to some people who want nothing to do with God. They will murder him, and 3 days later, he will be raised alive." The disciples felt scared to death. So we're getting ready to come down off our mountaintops, or just our comfortable places, and join Jesus in the desert for the 40 days of Lent. Looking at the needs of the world, the pain of brokenness in relationships, suffering all around us and within us, can leave us wanting to stay in seemingly secure places or happy places. Remain here with our inspiring liturgy or hymns, remain in spaces where we feel good. I believe that God gives us glimpses of the holy in sacred places that we might carry the holy with us wherever we go. Because we will encounter people and situations that want nothing to do with God and have nothing to do with God. You may well go and encounter someone 5 minutes after you leave this place that wakes you up to the fear and pain and callousness of this world. You may well be experiencing the fear and pain and callousness of this world. We need encounters where the transfigured Christ transfigures us. We need them so that we might have eyes to meet God when we come down the mountain into the challenges of this world. Steve Garness Holmes helps us understand the transfigured Christ as he writes this, and I'll conclude with this. Jesus has just said that he will be killed and raised again. If you give away your life for love, he said, God will give you a new one. Jesus has already surrendered his life. He is already the crucified one. And now we see him with others who have died, and he is shining with Easter light, risen again before it even happens. Jesus is the lighthouse shining at the mouth of the bay where we enter the narrows of death, shining to show us the way to deeper, wider life. The light emboldens us to enter the dark, the neglected, the unseen, the unfamiliar, the unloved, to find life there, and healing and beauty and resurrection. In this dazzling light, if we trust it, if we follow it, we ourselves may be transfigured. Amen.